And besides, I was getting into character. Jen, I had decided my imaginary office worker was called Jen, worked in customer services, but had fond memories of her gap year after university, and still thought she was a little bit cool. Jen might have buckled down to achieve promotion, but her hair was the last flicker of a personality she hadn't quite abandoned to the 9-to-5. That, and perhaps a touch too much liquid eyeliner, plus a tattoo on her shoulder blade that said, "Stick 'em with the pointy end." The eyeliner was real. I didn't feel properly dressed without a smooth flick of Nick's epic ink. The university degree was imaginary. So was the tattoo. I wasn't sufficiently into Game of Thrones to ink it, though admittedly, if I had been, Arya was the best character. Jen had been working late, lost track of time, and was heading hurriedly home for the weekend, hence the comfortable shoes. The backpack was for her office heels, although that was where my role play broke down. Jen might keep heels in her backpack. Mine was full of housebreaking tools and computer equipment, loaded with some deeply shady software Gabe had downloaded from the dark web. I walked softly down the corridor, my rubber sole silent on the carpet, trying to look as though I belonged here. On either side were the doors of empty offices, just the occasional LED glowing in the darkness where people had failed to turn their computers off properly for the weekend. A photocopier in an alcove blinked hypnotically, and I stopped, glancing up and down the hallway. It was illuminated behind me, but dark around the corner up ahead, the motion sensors not yet detecting my presence. So much the better. The lights might alert security, but that worked both ways. The guards were unlikely to be coming from behind me. That corridor was a dead end out to the car park. If they came from up ahead, the lights flickering on would give me enough warning to double back or duck into one of the offices. Gabe would probably tell me to get on with finding the server room, but the chance was too good to miss. Behind the copier were, as I'd hoped, a tangle of wires and two LAN ports for hooking up devices to the main company network. One was in use, connected to the copier. The other was empty. Heart beating. I glanced up and down the corridor and took one of the little Raspberry Pi computers out of my backpack. The Pi was smaller than a paperback book, and I slid it down behind the copier, nesting it snugly into the mass of abandoned pages that had fallen off the back of the document feeder. I plugged it into a power socket and snaked the LAN cable into the empty port. Seconds later, my Bluetooth earpiece crackled, and my husband's deep voice came into my ear, strangely intimate in the hush of the deserted building.
"Hey, babe. Your Pi just came online. How's it going?"
"Okay," I spoke quietly. Not quite a whisper, but not much more. "I'm just trying to get my bearings." I tugged a stray photocopy over the Pi, hiding it from view, then shouldered my bag and continued up the corridor, rounding the corner. "How are you doing?"
"Oh, you know..."
Gabe's tone was dry.
"Just a little Dark Souls on the PS. Not much I can do until you get me into the server room."
I laughed, but he was only half joking. It might not be true about Dark Souls. I knew full well there was no way he'd be gaming. On the contrary, he was undoubtedly hunched at his monitor, anxiously tracing my progress on the blueprints we'd obtained from the planning department. But the bit about the server room was. This was always the hardest part of any job for Gabe, where he had to just sit back and listen, powerless to help if I ran into any trouble.
"Where are you?"
he asked now. "In a corridor running east to west from that fire door you found."